tonight. I don't know what's going to happen. I just want the Lord to move. Praise the Lord. And sometimes in this late hour that we live in, there were a couple of things that I wrote down, and you wonder if people understand what you're saying. And this was a sign seen in one business place. It said, "I know you believe you understand what you think I said, but I'm not sure you realize that what you heard is not what I meant." And then I read another sign one time, and I wanted to bring it to you before we go to the Word of the Lord tonight. That's why I like this PATH conference, because it's been straight preaching, and you don't have to worry about what the man of God is saying. It's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And thank God for a clear note. And this is what one sign said: "We have not succeeded in answering all your problems. The answers we have found only serve to raise a whole new set of questions. In some ways, we feel that we are as confused as ever, but we do believe that we are confused on a much higher intelligent level about many more important things." And you could say that about some conferences that you may attend, but not about PATH. And not about these great men of God that are on this platform tonight. Aren't you glad for the ministry that's represented tonight? Your pastor, your local church, great men of God. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I hope that I have minded my manners and said thank you for all the things that I wanted to say thank you for, but I want to go right into the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'll also read out of 2 Timothy in your hearing tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now I'll let you have the time to turn there. Praise God. "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, and that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21 and verse 26. And I will also read one other passage in 1 Peter chapter 5. 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you're there, say praise the Lord. "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Verse 26, "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8 and 9. "Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." I want to talk to you a little while tonight on this little simple subject: our greatest hindrance. Our greatest hindrance. Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Let's talk to God right now. Ask the Lord to speak his good word to your heart.
Jesus, we certainly need you to help us tonight, oh God. Praise the Lord.
Now, Lord Jesus, we need you so very much. I pray, Lord, that you'd anoint my mind and my lips and my tongue. Let me speak your word tonight, O God, and I pray that you would give us thirsting hearts. listening ears and a will to receive the Word of God tonight. I love you, Jesus, and you are great and wonderful and powerful and precious. And I love you, Jesus, with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, and with all of my strength. I love you, Jesus, and I magnify your wonderful and your holy name. Do your work, Lord, is our prayer in Jesus' name. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. One more time, in Jesus' name. I like saying that name tonight, because I am Jesus' name. One God, apostolic, Holy Ghost filled, holiness believing apostolic. Praise the Lord. God bless you. May be seated tonight in Jesus' wonderful name. The scriptures that I began to read to you just a little while ago began to speak about the vessels of the Lord and how that God has chosen all of us and to be a part of his kingdom. And there will be vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be a vessel of honor. I want the hand of the Lord to be upon me. I want the Spirit of the Lord to be able to flow through me as a conduit. I want to be a mirror to reflect his image. And I want to be an echo of his thought. I want to be in the middle of a church that preaches and teaches this one God, Jesus' name, apostolic Holy Ghost message. And there are probably visitors in this room tonight. And let me tell you that you are in a church tonight that does not believe that you can be saved by shaking a preacher's hand, nor making a profession of faith. But there's only one way to be saved, and that's to repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, God still pours out his Spirit in these last days. Well, glory to God. Somebody shout hallelujah. You may be seated in Jesus' name. The one brother that was speaking here just a little while ago talked about it was only just a number of years ago that on nights like this, he spent lots of money and did a lot of things that he was ashamed to do and that he's ashamed to do today. But he thanks God that God has delivered him and made him a vessel of honor. I want to tell you tonight that it's the will of God for every Holy Ghost-filled, Jesus-name baptized believer to bring glory to God and to get in line with the mind of the Spirit so that they can do the last work of God before he comes again. Jesus is coming again. And I can't wait till he comes back to take his waiting bride away from here. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's a great comfort, isn't it? Praise God. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Oh, thank God for this glorious Holy Ghost experience. And you're not going to be raptured without the Holy Ghost. For if the Spirit that dwelt in Jesus dwell in you, it shall quicken your mortal bodies. You got to have the Holy Ghost to go up in the rapture. Well, glory to God. And if you don't know if you got it, throw your hands in the air and see if you can feel after God. Well, glory to God. Praise God. Now, you're not going to try to make me work to preach here tonight, are you? Praise the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost is going to talk to us a little while here tonight. And I want the Lord to talk to me, and I thank God for what he's already done. But I believe on this last night of path that God wants to give us a shot in the arm, and he wants to give us some direction, and so that we can spit right in the devil's eye, put the neck of the devil under our foot, and go back and do the will of God in our city. Well, glory to God. I believe that's the will of God. Praise the Lord. Now, many of you, and I could say a whole lot, and just let me feel after the Holy Ghost here just a little bit. But there are many churches represented, and I don't know about you, but I know what I've been fighting the last year or so. And there have been many battles that we have fought, and there have been many strange things that have been taking place. And I believe that I believe I've got a finger on something tonight that I want to try to help all of us with. And I want to go home, and I want to be able to imply and impart this into the hearts and lives of our people. It is not because God's arm is short, and it's not because that His grace is not sufficient. It is not because that the days of the move of the Holy Ghost is over with. I believe the greatest chapter of the church is yet to be written. And I am not going to sit down and suck my thumb and feel sorry for myself. Glory to God. I want hell to know, get out of my way in Jesus' name. We're going to take back some of these casualties. And the prodigal is going to come back home again. Because we're not going to quit praying until they come back. Well, glory to God. Well, glory to God. Clap your hands to the Lord. Let's do it the Bible way. Clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Romans 9:21, the Bible said, "Have not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make unto one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?" And so God can do with you what He wants to do. Do not let the devil tell you that because you've got a bad past that you're going to have a bad future. Nothing is further from the truth. Because if you can lay yourself in the hand of God, God can make you what you never dreamed you could be. Praise God. Praise God. And I take a look at the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter number 9. Matter of fact, he is the one that wrote many of these texts that we read here tonight. And we can elaborate on them, but time would not really afford us that luxury. But as he was on his way to Damascus, and he was doing what he thought was the will of God, the Bible said there was a light that shined down from heaven, and it got his attention, and it blinded him, and he saw more in his blind condition than he had ever seen in all of his life. There's sometimes we see too much, and God has to put His hand over our eye in order that we can see further. God has to teach our blinded eyes to see and our deaf ears to hear what the Holy Ghost is trying to talk to us about. Well, glory to God. And while he was there stumbling around with his hands and his knees on the sand, he started praying. And he began to say, as he heard that voice, it said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And you have to understand what he's saying there. Because there's only one Lord that the Apostle Paul knew. And what he was actually saying with a Hebrew mind was, "Who art thou, Jehovah?" And Jehovah said, "I am Jesus." Boy, you're going the wrong way, but I'm going to turn you around and I'm going to make something out of you. Aren't you glad that God turned you around and made something out of you? You were a drug pusher, a fornicator, a pimp, but God put you in the church, filled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and gave you something to live for. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, I want you to make me a vessel of honor. I want you to make me a vessel of honor. Well, glory to God. Praise the Lord. And when God fills you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, He qualifies you to do what He lays on your heart to do. And of course, as you begin to submit yourself to the authority of your pastor, and with his direction and with his skilled hands, begins to allow you to mature and begins to train you and teach you in the areas to where you can be productive in the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you that every man of God and every woman that's filled with the Holy Ghost needs a God-called, God-fearing pastor that's not afraid to stand flat-footed, look them in the whites of the eye, and tell them how to live. You better thank God you got a preacher that'll preach to you that way. You better thank God that God put an authority in your life. Hallelujah. Boy, that word authority, you may be seated. That word authority is a bad word today. Nobody likes to hear that. You know, they talk about authority this, and everybody's anti-authority that, and they just don't. I had one lady tell me one time, she said, ain't no man going to tell me what to do. I said, well, then Jesus won't be able to tell you what to do because he is a man. Swallow that, you feminist spirit. And there's one here tonight. But we're going to preach anyhow. I said, we're going to preach anyhow. Hallelujah. Praise God. When I feel the anointing on me, I'm not afraid of any devil. I'll tell you that right now. Praise God. But it not only said that, but he said, obey them that have the rule over you. Brother, your preacher has the rule over you. And the Bible tells you, don't just obey him, but submit to him. You can obey and not submit, but you can't submit and not obey. Well, glory to God. I'm preaching to you tonight about our greatest hindrance. We need to learn how to get our mind on God. Learn how to walk in the Spirit, talk in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, have church in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Glory to God. So he submitted himself to Ananias. And you'll be surprised what God will do to you whenever you begin to submit yourself to apostolic ministry. Oh, what a terrible thing it is when you rebel against God's chosen authority in your life. Some folks say, well, I'm just going to pick me out a preacher. You don't pick who your daddy is, and you ain't going to pick who your preacher is. Now, I could preach about 2 hours on spiritual genetics tonight, but I'm not going to. I'm going to tell you, when God filled you with the Holy Ghost at your church, he puts you where he wanted you to be. Hallelujah! Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit to them. Well, glory to God. Let's worship the Lord just a minute. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. He said, to the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. God has people out there that are not yet in the church. And I say that, I'm going to touch that, I'm going to run on. There are people out there that God has keys to the city. We hadn't found them yet, but they're out there. That's why I believe what Elder White was saying last night. We got to get our head out from under our arm and quit feeling sorry for ourselves. Some of you are going to go home and find the key to your city. Chosen vessels. Oh, they were looking around. They thought he was the worst man in the world. Man, you know, and said, Saul? You mean, no, Lord, I can't pray for him. I can't pray for him. And you see what actually happens, and I like this. It's because when God's working on the church to get them ready for the Sauls, God's already been working on the Saul. Well, glory to God. When God lays it in your heart to go tell somebody about the gospel, he's already been talking to the one he's been telling you to go talk to. Get on up there. Pass that card out. Invite them to church. It could be the break you've been looking for. Well, glory to God. Well, I'm glad half of you are preaching me on tonight. I hope before we get through here tonight that everybody gets a load of this. God's are looking for a chosen vessel. Praise the Lord. Everybody said, praise the Lord. And really, there I could subtitle this, you'll either be a chosen vessel or you will be a satanic channel. either a chosen vessel, a vessel of God, or a channel of the devil. That is not the will of God. It's not the will of God for us to have to fight through every service. It's not the will of God for us to have to battle devils every time we come to the house of God. I said, that's not the will of God. I said, that's not the will of God. It's the will of God for people to get the Holy Ghost when we come to church. For people to get healed of cancer. Tumors removed. Demons cast out. That's the will of God. I said, that's the will of God. Praise the Lord. Everybody said, hallelujah. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Isaiah 10 and 27 declares, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. I'm telling you that what we need is an anointed move of God. Forget the program. Forget the way things have always been. I'm not saying throw away the doctrine. That's not what I'm talking about. But we got a lot of barnacles on our gospel ship that we need to get off of us. Praise God. We need a move of God that'll shake from the altar to the back pew. I don't care if you're 80 years old, you still need a renewing in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hey, this is apostolic doctrine just like anything else. It's not once saved, always saved. And it's not just talking in tongues one time either, baby. If it's been a long time since you talked in tongues, there's a reason why you're not talking in tongues. Hallelujah. I'm going to say it again because some of you don't believe what I just said. But I'm telling you, if you haven't talked in tongues in a long time, there's a reason why you haven't talked in tongues. You need to get a new dose of the Holy Ghost tonight. Stop breaking revival in your church. Get on board. Come on, we need somebody to help us push. Let's worship the Lord a minute. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, I love you. I sure do love you, Lord. Oh, I sure do love you. Praise God. Praise God. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke. You may be seated. We need to get rid of some of these things that destroy the anointing. Say, so, well, we just, you know, we like the way. We like the rut that we're in. We need to get out of our ruts. A rut's nothing more than a grave with both ends kicked out. It's time for us to get out of our rut. It's time for us to have a move of the Holy Ghost. I believe in preaching the Word of God, but I believe the Word of God's got to carry the anointing. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke and destroys the yoke of sin. Well, glory to God. He said, what are you talking about? While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word and that believed, and they began to speak in other tongues. Hey, we ought to have a Holy Ghost hoedown while the man of God's preaching. You want to be apostolic? Let's have church when the man of God's preaching. You can get a miracle while I'm preaching tonight. You can be set free while I'm preaching tonight. Hallelujah. You can sit down and doubt and do without, or you can get on your feet and get a hold of the Holy Ghost. I want to plug in. God, pour your spirit out on me again. Hallelujah. Oh, you may be seated. Praise God. It's an exciting thing when you're preaching. Amen. I don't remember exactly how long ago it was. We was preaching one night, and I wasn't even preaching about faith. But a sister about four or five pews back stood up and just screamed. And I thought she was just getting a blessing, but God instantly healed her body right in the middle of the preached word of God. You say, well, I don't know if that's in order or not. I'm telling you, dead church is always out of order. A move of the Holy Ghost is always in order. I want to tell the devil he can take dead church back where he brought it from. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. 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 The sinners in Zion are afraid. When the Holy Ghost is moving, that's when conviction starts moving. Well, praise God. Maybe see, if you're a little uncomfortable right now, that's because the Holy Ghost is dealing with you, and you need to get a hold of what we're feeling right now. And it changed. It take them curse words out of your lips and put praise words in their place. Oh, yeah. It take that spirit of fornication out of your spirit and give your spirit a holiness. Destroy the yoke. Destroy the yoke. Anointing of God. Destroy the yoke. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody shout in Jesus' name. Oh, you may be seated. I thought about that one night when I was a preacher not long ago. And I used to just, you know, we used to quote that scripture, Brother Garza, the anointing breaks the yoke. But it didn't say break. It said destroy. Because when you break something, you can mend it together. But when you destroy something, you can't use it again. We need an anointing that will destroy every tool that the devil has used against the apostolic church. We're not gonna be in the same rut we've been in the last 20 years. We're coming out of this. We're going to have a move of God. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody shout, praise the Lord. Oh, you may be seated in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. We need a move of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you, a move of the Holy Ghost will change a whole lot of things. And I felt led to bring this, and I brought this little thing here, and I'm not going to take the time to read it. But, you know, the scientific people, and I can't prove this right or wrong, but I believe what they said, that the speed of light is 186,000 and change per second. I don't know how many extra there, but it's about that. And it's about 6 million miles an hour. I've never been able to measure light. But they said that, you know, and you hear these scientists going out there and they said, well, the universe has to be billions and billions and billions of years old. Does that sound like Carl? Billions. And because he said all these out there, they're so many light years away and it took so many. But I read something the other day that astounded me, and I want to bring this to you. And it says, while the certainty of the speed of light is an absolute limit, has provided comfort for many, new research may point out to a universe that is stranger than we can imagine. It all began when an Italian researcher showed that microwaves could travel through the air at speeds slightly faster than light. Then an American researcher decided to see what would happen to the speed of light in a special chamber. He built a clear chamber filled with cesium gas. When a pulse of light was seen through it, the light went through the chamber at 300 times the speed of light. This is so fast that the main pulse of the light exited the chamber before it went in. Time warp. I hadn't lost anybody yet, have I? And it traveled so fast under this special condition that before the light went in, it came out. This strange effect is a result of the unique wave action of the light. For this reason, researchers say that Einstein's theory remains viable. However, this finding has led to a debate among physicists over whether a message could be sent faster than the speed of light into the past. Now, I don't know about all of that, and some of that sounds like science fiction. But the Bible says that God is light. That's why you may have been a drug dealer, a pimp, a pusher, but you can come to this altar and repent of your sins, and in one moment, God heal your past, your future, and your present. Devil, I may have been a bad old hog one day, but God touched me. Calvary cleansed me. I'm not the same like I used to be. Woo! Well, glory to God. Praise God. You said, but wait a minute. What about this special chamber? Glad you brought that up. Because we are not in the world right now. We are in a sanctuary that has been dedicated to the glory of God. And strange things happen in this building that cannot be explained by the carnal mind. Y'all ain't hearing me. That's why when the man of God's preaching, somebody can get healed. Somebody gets a word from God. A revival is birthed in one split moment of time. Oh, I tell you, the Holy Ghost wants to destroy the yoke. I said the Holy Ghost wants to destroy the yoke. Let's praise the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, do your work right now. In the name of Jesus, I bind every spirit of confusion. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this congregation. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Have your way. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We serve a mighty big God. We serve a powerful God. The devil has been defeated by the blood of Jesus Christ. Once and for all. In one moment of time. Well, glory to God. Be seated. So we see that that really brings a whole lot of credence to where that man came to Jesus and he said, you know, I'm a man under authority. And I say to him, go, and he goeth. And I say to another, come, and he cometh. And the Lord looked at him. He said, I haven't seen faith like this in Israel. Because I'm telling you, there's power in authority and to those who are submitted to it. See, it gets a little tight when I start mentioning a little bit about authority. The devil hates authority because he's a rebel. And anybody that's a rebel's on the devil's side. Yeah. And I told our people at home, I said, don't get upset whenever I get up here and I stand you up and say, we're not doing that in here. We're not bringing that television in here. We're not bringing that video in here. Oh, he's an authoritarian. No, the same thing that says you're not bringing that queer spirit in here. It's the same thing that the same authority says, come out of him in the name of Jesus Christ. And it happens. You can't have one authority without another. Well, praise the Lord. You may be seated in Jesus' name. The same authority that draws the lines and makes issues in the church You say, well, I don't think it's really important. Well, it does. It may not be important if you want dead church. If you want your kids to turn out to be perverts and lesbians and feminists and idiots. But if you want your children to live for God and to walk in the Holy Ghost, then you want the authority of the government of God in the church. Because that's what makes the devil leave. He's an illegal citizen. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. So there's a whole lot to be said. We talk about the Spirit. I talk about the move of the Holy Ghost. I've got to move on. There's a lot to be preached here tonight, and I don't want to weary you. Amen. But I do want to preach this burden off my heart tonight. I am getting so, and please don't think I'm trying to be sarcastic. I'm not trying to be. But I am so weary of going to meetings that are as dead as they can be. Nothing happens. They are so predictable. They're going to be out at 9 o'clock or 9:30, and everybody's going to be home. What about a move of God? Hey, this thing wasn't born over in the other side of the corner with sermonettes and Christianettes and TV sets. It was born in a brush arbor where people would shout and pray all night long. Whoa. Hallelujah. I thought about it today. You may be seated when we're trying to put some of these thoughts together. I thought about, Elder, when you was with us, Brother Moody, was with us, I don't remember how many years ago, and on that one Sunday night, I never will forget it. My children and young people will never forget it. We left the church auditorium after 2 o'clock in the morning. We started at 7. People were carried out. Drunk on the Holy Ghost. And since we have a Christian school, I made an executive decision to go ahead and just dismiss school the next day. And when my children got up to eat a late breakfast, they were talking about what they heard and what they seen. And when they walked out, tears trickled down my cheeks. And I said, I'm so glad they didn't have to read about that. I'm glad they were able to see it with their eyes. Come on, we need to get this generation a move of the Holy Ghost that they can't ever forget. I said we need to give this generation a move of the Holy Ghost, signs, miracles, wonders that they never will forget. Let's worship the Lord together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Now, I'm not trying to lift up whatever. I can only preach what I know and what I've seen. And I'm not trying to do whatever, because these great men of God have probably seen all kinds of things, and they could tell stories, and I'm sure they could. If they were up here holding the microphone, we could get up here and we could talk about what God has done all throughout the years. But for many places, there has not been a genuine sovereign move of the Holy Ghost in so long that it's always, well, I remember when. I don't remember when it was. It was so far. But I remember back years ago when. We need to bring that back to 2007. What brought us to this place is what's going to bring us from here to glory. Boy, the devil don't like me talking like that, but I'm going to preach it anyhow. So what if you drove a Beamer here tonight? So what if you got a Mercedes Benz? I don't give a rip what you drove. We need an anointing that will destroy the yoke. An anointing that will push the gates of hell out of our church. It's not by power. It's not by might. But it's by my Spirit. Everybody say, by my Spirit. By my spirit. By my spirit. You can't sing it down. You can't program it down. But brother, we need an anointing of God that will fall upon us like it did on the day of Pentecost. And God will do it if He can find somebody that's hungry for it. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 May be seated in all. I'm going to say this for the glory of God, and I'm running on. But there were saints in our church that had recently come in that had never really seen a notable miracle. And the night that God raised Denise out of the wheelchair and she took off running, and God healed her body, there were some that came with tears trickling down their cheeks, said, "That's the first miracle I've ever seen like that." And I'm so glad that God has not stopped the miracle working business. And to God be all the credit and all the glory. Praise God. I can lay hands on people all day long. If God don't move, ain't nothing going to happen. But brother, if God can be touched and the Spirit of God can move, anything can happen. Yes, I believe there's a miracle in this building tonight. You better believe I believe that. That's just a part of the doctrine like Acts 2:38 is. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's still in the book. It's still in the book. Well, glory to God. See, this Holy Ghost, you made me see, this Holy Ghost is powerful. This is powerful stuff. And the world would like to duplicate it, but they cannot duplicate it. They can fake it, but they can't duplicate it. And brother, I'm telling you, the pressure that we've been under in the last few years, the church has been fighting the very gates of hell. It will either make you a transgressor or an intercessor. But you got to make up your mind what it's going to make you. It either blow your way or you can set your sails and get you some electricity out of that kite. I want the devil to know I'm not about to let up, shut up, or give up. We're going to get involved in some prayer meetings and some fasting and some worship. We're going to have a move of God. Praise God. Maybe seated. Now I'm almost where I want to preach. Help me, Jesus. I'm preaching about our greatest hindrance. Now, every one of us, if I was to have all of us to stand, how many want a move of God? You want to see miracles in the church. You want to see the blinded eyes heal and all of this. And people receive the Holy Ghost and folks delivered from demonic oppression. I believe that every one of us would stand to our feet. And I believe that it would be genuine. Then the question we've got to ask is, then why is it not happening? And I'm going to just bring this to you tonight. The Bible declares, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Are you still with me now? Praise God. Didn't say as many as are driven by the Spirit of God, but led. This gives you the idea of submission. If the Spirit can't lead you, then you won't go. The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He will not make you praise Him. He will not make you intercede in prayer. And your flesh is more powerful in your body than the Holy Ghost is. I need to explain that, don't I? You say, well, the Holy Ghost is powerful. You better believe it. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God that spoke the worlds into existence, stood on the balcony of nothing and said, "Let there be," and there was. It was that same Spirit of God that created the worlds, that did all the miracles. And yet when God filled you with His blessed Holy Ghost, He allowed the will of man to be unmoved and untampered with. So that if God is going to let His Holy Ghost move through you, you have to yield to it. Somebody shout, yield. You got to yield to it. Holy Ghost won't make you run these aisles. Holy Ghost not going to make you jump up and down. But that still small voice will say, leap for joy. And we'll say, well, ain't nobody else doing it. I'm going somewhere. Oh, God, help me, Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, but beloved, pray, building yourself up on the most holy faith, pray in the Holy Ghost. I've talked about that just a little bit. We need to walk in the Spirit, sing in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, preach in the Spirit, teach in the Spirit, live in the Spirit. The Bible declares in Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto righteousness, sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness. Who are you submitting to? I propose to this congregation tonight, one of our greatest hindrances and our greatest hindrance is the presence of the carnal mind. Because God will not make you submit yourself to Him. He will not make your church have revival. He will not make the young people live for God. You gotta want to. My God, have mercy. I believe there's some young people here tonight. You saw some people walk out the door, but you made up your mind, I'm not going to hell with them. I'm going to submit to the Holy Ghost. I'm going to be a vessel of honor and not a vessel of the devil. Let's worship the Lord again. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus' name. Praise God. You may be seated. Who are you yielding yourself to? What are you yielding to? Are you yielding to temptation? Are you yielding to the call of the Spirit? Are you yielding to the carnal mind? Are you yielding to the move of the Holy Ghost? And everybody has the choice. Everybody has the choice. And I ask the question tonight to some of you, who's stirring you up? Now the Bible talks about Cyrus back in the Old Testament. The Bible said, whose spirit God stirred up. And when God stirred up his spirit, that old Gentile king didn't even have the Holy Ghost. And he started doing what God wanted him to do. Because God had the ability to stir him up. But Ahab, on the other hand, his wife Jezebel stirred him up. I mean, he was a bad enough dude anyhow. But brother, when Jezebel got all stirred up, she started stirring up her old husband and he became a real heathen then. I'm telling you tonight that our greatest hindrance of a move of God in these hours is who you allow access to your mind. If you are not spiritually minded and you're carnally minded, the devil uses you to stir you up. I don't like him preaching like that. It's hot in here. I wish we'd hurry up and go home, and the devil's using you to stir you up. But on the other side, there are some people that want a move of God. They need a healing, and God is stirring their spirit up. Oh, help me, Jesus. May be seated in Jesus' name. Romans 8. Now, this right here is where I'm going to drop the anchor. Romans 8, this is where the Holy Ghost will not let me get away from all day. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Everybody say enmity. against God. Okay? And then you'll see it in the translation here. There's a colon. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. People that are carnal can't get it. So, boy, the Holy Ghost is sure here tonight. They can't get that. They're not on the same page. They don't even speak the same language. It's no comprehende. It's no savvy. Preacher, I feel like God wants to do something tonight. What wonder what he's talking about here tonight. Their mind's not subject to the law of God. They can't comprehend what God wants to do. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you that God wants to do great things in our midst, but the carnal mind cannot even put it in its mind what God wants to do. And the carnal mind puts brakes on what God wants to do. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I'll skip reading from the Amplified Version. Let me go to Vincent's Word Studies, 8 and 6 of Romans. And was looking at the original text and started seeing something there. And I began to do some study here. It means, it comes from the Greek word hapoutasatai, which means, and that wasn't tongues either, that's Greek. Originally, it means to arrange under, but it has the shade of military meaning suggested by the word enmity. So when you put the word enmity with not subject to, it begins to give you the idea in the original language that it is marshaled under another commander. You know what? If there's a devil here tonight, if they want to get delivered, 5 minutes, Brother Garza, we can cast that devil out. But if a person is carnally minded, 20 years can't even get them set up. Well, glory to God. Either it's getting pretty close to home or you're not understanding what I'm trying to say. But a lot of times we get up and say, boy, the devil sure is binding this service up. I'm telling the devil can't bind the service up if we come against it in Jesus' name. No, sir. No, sir. The devil can't stop the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Be seated. But I'm going to tell you something that will stop the church. The carnal mind. Brother, God couldn't move if he wanted to. Because there's so many carnal minded folks that's so worried about the pizza. So worried about the heat. So worried about time. They can't get in the spirit. And what God wants to do, he can't do. He's crippled. It's our greatest hindrance. I've seen people late, been in the church for a long time, walk out on God, backslide. And I'm thinking, what's the deal? They can quote to you all the standards, the scriptures. They can give you ABC 1, 2, 3 and all of that. But they walked away. And I've laid on my face and I have wailed and cried and prayed for them. I said, God, where did we mess up? I remember one lady left and the husband left with her. She said, well, we're just going to leave and go somewhere else. You know, she's had some bad experiences. And who hadn't had bad experiences? He said, my wife and I love you and Sister Davis, and we love the church. We don't have nothing against anybody. We just want to go somewhere where we can heagle up a little bit. And I told him, I said, you know I can't agree, because when you're leaving the church for your wife, you know what that means. Anything you leave God's church for, you lose it. 100% of the time. I've pastored almost 19 years, and that has never failed to be true. I've had people miss the church because they said Wednesday night Bible study, that was the only night of the week that they had to clean their house. And prophecy came out of my lips and said, you'll lose your house. She did. So they're going to backslide to save their marriage. They lose their marriage. They go to a looser church to save their kids. They lose their kids. Anything you leave God for, you always lose it. And I was praying. I love those folks. They had such potential. Leadership potential. I had spent hours with them. And I was crying. I said, God, what is the deal? I said, they love Sister, you know, there's some people that was around that didn't love Sister Davis, you know, but these people did. And they loved the church. And the Lord spoke to me and said, they loved you and they loved my church, but they never loved me. You can love Pastor Garza and you can love Faith Tabernacle, but if you don't fall in love with Jesus, your days are numbered. The handwriting's on the wall. And if Pastor Garza's not your pastor and one of these others up here in another church, then you apply your name and you fill in the blank where it's at. You got to fall in love with Jesus. But I'm going a step further than that. You got to learn how to walk in the Spirit. Cast down imagination. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Brother Elder White said it today, and I typed it in. I don't have the article that he read today, but we're living in a generation that would rather look holy than be holy. Look spiritual than be spiritual. Look good than be good. This generation would rather run, shake, dance, and shout all night without having a prayer meeting. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly where we're at. We've learned how to have church and feel good and never have God's anointing on it. I'm so sorry if that rubs you the wrong way, but if it rubs you the wrong way, turn around and it'll feel good. Jesus' name. May be seated. We were, several years ago, several churches around our area decided to do a little camp meeting in the summer, and we had one preacher's boy that came, and he was really worried about his son. I watched his son that night. He was laying on the floor. It looked like he was heaving and crying and praying. And I thought, well, bless his heart, he's getting a good touch. When he got off the floor, his eyes were not red. He had not cried. He had not even prayed, but it looked like he did. You know what it did? It kept other people from praying with him. They thought he was really getting a touch. And he was faking it all the time. Heard another pastor say this, or a preacher say this, and I tried to write it down as much as I could remember it. Pastor found out he was pastoring a larger church, that a group of his young people was involved in group fornication. And he said he couldn't really believe it because he said they were his best young people. They sat on the front row. They run the aisles. They preached him on and stood on their feet. He said, I can't believe that's true. He called the five or six of them in his office. And they all confessed. He said, why? How could you do that? Run in the aisles. He said, Pastor, we knew that as long as we ran and stood up like that, that you would never suspect. We are living in a generation of professional hypocrites that rather look good than be good. But we're living in the last hour, and God is going to pull the cover off of every hypocritical spirit. Let's worship the Lord again. Let's ask God to do it. Come on, let's ask God to do it. Oh, Jesus. I'm in a vein right now. I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, we need a move of the Holy Ghost. We need a move of the Holy Ghost. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Let's wait on the Holy Ghost. We're not in a hurry right now. Let's wait on the Lord. Halalama shamando kiamondo shamando shamando. Oh. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let's take a few moments and pray for our young people. Let's take a few moments, moms and dads, older folks, lift your hands. Let's pray for our young people in this room, in your youth group at home, whether they're here tonight or not. Come on, let's pray for our young people. They've got to see a move of the Holy Ghost. They've got to see it. They got to feel it. They got to know it. Gotta know it. Oh, God, deliver us from the carnal mind. Deliver us from the carnal mind. Jesus. Oh, la maye abo koye basondo bo koye. Oh, Jesus. Halama shandola mokota maye amale. Oh, Jesus. I'd like for everybody to stand. Just keep praying. Keep praying. Everybody stand. Just keep praying. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God, take out the facade. Oh, God, take off the facade. We're going to pray for our young people here in just a minute. I got a lot more to preach, but I'm not going to finish it. We're going to pray for our young people tonight. I want it to happen to our young people tonight, like Jesus said in John chapter 14. He said, "The prince of this world cometh, but he hath nothing in me." I want to pray for these young people, and I want us to pray that when the enemy comes, that their carnal mind has not marshaled them under the army of the enemy to be a detriment to the church. But when the enemy comes in like a flood, he can't find nothing in them. He has no ground in order to take. He has no claim in their life. I believe there are young people here tonight that need to make up their mind to sell out lock, stock, and barrel. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to get me a prayer life. I'm going to worship God with all my heart. I know we don't have a whole lot of room, but we can make some room. Some of you young people, the Holy Ghost is dealing with you. Come right on up right now. If you don't mind, maybe you can shove these chairs back just a little bit. It doesn't matter if it's only four or five, but you know who the Holy Ghost is talking to right now. There's a battle going on in your mind, and the devil has told you all kind of lies. But the devil's a liar in Jesus' name. This doesn't make you a bad young person. You just got to ask God to put it in your heart to love Him. I don't want the devil to have any strongholds in me. I'm going to clean out the wrong records and the wrong CDs. I'm going to clean out my life. I'm going to clean out my thought patterns. I want God to use me. Oh, God, look at these wonderful young people. Oh, how about it, folks? Is it worth it on the last night of PATH to pray for these young folks? Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Those of you back in the pew can't get up here. These good men of God feel led of the Holy Ghost to pray with these young folks. God's dealing with some of them. Some of them are struggling as we speak. But we don't want the enemy to find any place in them. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to get me a prayer life. I'm going to fall in love with Jesus. Oh!